WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. On day one of jury deliberations in former President Donald Trump's so-called hush money trial, the panel sends two notes to the judge. CBS's Matt Piper reports.
The 12-member jury huddled for almost 5 hours before the judge sent them home for the night, ready to resume in the morning. Before being dismissed, the jury asked to re-examine testimony from two witnesses and also to hear again the judge's instructions on how to interpret the law. No time limit is placed on the deliberations, but an acquittal or conviction would require all 12 to be unanimous.
Campaigning in the battleground state of Pennsylvania, along with Vice President Kamala Harris, President Biden reaches out to black voters at Philadelphia's predominantly black Girard College. Biden says that Donald Trump poses a greater threat to America during a second term than he did during the first.
It's clear that when he lost in 2020, something literally snapped in this guy. No, I'm serious. That's why January 6th happened, when he unleashed an insurrection. Now, he's running again, and he's clearly unhinged.
Former movie producer Harvey Weinstein could be facing more charges. CBS's Wendy Gillette.
Manhattan prosecutors told the judge they're looking into additional claims of sexual misconduct against Harvey Weinstein and could bring a new indictment. That development after his 2020 conviction was overturned. A retrial is set for later this year. Weinstein's lawyer, Arthur Idala.
He's confident that there will be no more complaining witnesses. That is the appropriate term.
Idala says Weinstein maintains his innocence. Wendy Gillette, CBS News.
Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito tells congressional lawmakers his wife is solely responsible for flying two flags associated with the Stop the Steal movement on two of the family's properties in 2021 and last year. He's also rejecting calls to recuse himself from cases related to former President Trump and January 6th. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
These ethics codes are asking whether or not it might appear to the public like a judge possesses actual bias. You don't need to, in the words of the Supreme Court opinions, actually possess the bias, but it has to look like you might. Justice Alito is saying that's not going to happen.
Munitions specialists tell CBS News the weapons used by Israel in its deadly strike on a tent camp Sunday in Gaza were GBU-39s, which are manufactured by Boeing in the U.S. CBS's Imtiaz Taieb reports from Jerusalem.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken said Israel was investigating the case, saying that absent a complete investigation, the U.S. cannot verify whether the small diameter weapons were used in the strike.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. This summer could be the hottest in history. The National Weather Service predicts Wisconsin will see temperatures anywhere from 33 to 50% higher than normal in the months of June, July, and August. 2023 was the hottest year since 1850. Early signs of a record-breaking summer showed up last June when temperatures were around 2.7 degrees hotter than average multiple days in a row. We could see more temperature records fall in the coming months. More bad news on the weather front. Wisconsin's severe storm season is just beginning. Last year, 21 total tornadoes touched down in Wisconsin. This year, the tornado count is already 22 before the end of May. If a tornado is near, move to the basement or a room with few doors and windows. If you are outside, find a low, flat location and watch out for flying debris. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
Brewers and Cubs go extra innings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Another crazy Brewers and Cubs game at American Family Field. Cubs pitcher Ben Brown pitched a no-hitter through seven innings. Manager Craig Counsell.
I mean, I thought it was the fastball. It was like an angry fastball. I mean, it was just really good, and it was overpowering for much of the game. So, you know, he threw a ton of strikes. Fastball was excellent.
Top of the 10th, Brewers closing pitcher Trevor McGill had to leave the game after getting hit in his throwing arm on a comeback hit going 99 miles an hour. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
It's not fraction.
The extent of what you know at this point?
Yeah, I mean, he got drilled pretty hard. He's going to be it's going to be good and sore for a while.
The Brewers ended up losing 6-3. Milwaukee's Freddy Peralta pitched well, but still has not earned a win this month.
It's hard because I don't, when I perform like well, you know, I want to win, but I want the team to win.
That's Brewers pitcher Freddy Peralta. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the upper 40s. Tomorrow, sun in the morning, then a few clouds in the afternoon, high mid-70s. Showers and storms return Thursday night and Friday. And rain chances continue into the weekend, highs stay in the 70s. It's 69 degrees right now.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time when we take a look at the very important topic of mental health. It is May, which is Mental Health Month. Be with us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who wanted to be in porn but didn't have the acting chops, Pete Schwabba.
So tomorrow night on the program, we've got Jan Jansen, an actor, a very talented actor from the show The Rookie, and Rose Abdu will be here from the show Hacks. That's tomorrow night's Nightlight. That's our. I won't be as rusty. Paul, I had four nights off. I can't even remember. I've been doing the show 6 months, and I haven't had four nights off, and I feel rusty.
Yeah, why even do it then, Pete?
I know. Listen.
If you're not perfect, hey, why waste everybody's time?
Listen, I don't want to get cocky, but I just saw during the break my LinkedIn profile is getting hits, so I am about ready to say so long, suckers. And take off.
Yeah. Wow, you should join Clubhouse.
What's that? I don't even know what that is.
This thing where they're like you have to be invited as if, you know, like that thing where, you know, you have to, you know, like the nightclub where you have to know somebody to get in.
Right.
Then it must be high quality.
If they don't want someone like for me as a member, I would need to do this. It's the exact opposite of how you should think. That's great. Right. Tonight's question, ladies and gentlemen, you can still get in on the fun if you like, is who is your favorite female action star? Mine is Furiosa. I'm just going to say it again, Paul. Do you have a favorite female action star?
That's a good one. I would say Uma Thurman.
Oh, she's great.
From the Kill Bills.
That's a great
one.
She's
amazing.
Yeah, she's excellent. Hey, are you still doing stand-up these days, Paul?
No, I occasionally perform satire as the right-wing character. I haven't done stand-up as myself since like 2012.
Oh, wow. How did you do? Yeah. We played a little bit of Richard Martin. It's so funny because Richard Martin, I remember the first time I saw you do that character. First, I heard you were doing the character, and I'm like, oh, I got to hear this because I knew you'd make that really funny. It sounded extreme, 15, 20 years ago. And now you'd be a rhino. You wouldn't even be allowed in that party, right?
No, I would be considered a moderate. A little left of center.
Right.
Yeah.
How would you do that when you were doing stand-up? Would you like do your act and then segue into Richard Martin for a while, or would you do the whole show?
No, because he dresses completely differently than I do. So it would be one or the other. There was a couple of times on the road where I would open as Richard Martin and then I would headline as myself, and I would change when the feature act. So these people, and this was when I was a special event in comedy clubs. So people were paying extra money, coming up specifically, probably 80% of them, to see me. And I remember doing it in Indianapolis, and Richard Martin takes questions from the audience. Nobody had any questions. Nobody was laughing. And this one woman finally raises her hand and she goes, "When's the headliner coming out?"
That's very funny. Yeah, I would imagine, like, if they're coming to see you, it would be funny if they didn't know you and then saw Richard, right, and then a middle act, yeah, and then you. It's, oh, this is that other guy. It's, oh, that's so funny. Who do you like now, Paul? Like, when you are surfing, let's say channel surfing, and you see a comic, who will you stop and watch for a little while?
Patton Oswalt, Bill Burr, Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock. I'm Maria Bamford.
Very funny. Have you seen Taylor Tomlinson?
No. I've seen a joke here or there, yeah, but yeah, funny.
What about Dave Attell?
I think he's funny, but he's not somebody I seek out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Great joke writer. One of the best joke writers ever.
One of his jokes was, I worked with him in St. Louis one week and he said, if you had to have sex with an animal, what animal would you have sex with? And of course it just silenced. Nobody says anything. And he says, for me, it'd be a horse. Cause after you have sex with a horse, you know, you have a ride home. So stupid, but it's so funny. He's
great. That's joke, so funny. My favorite joke of his is, what is the thick Christmas drink?
Eggnog.
Eggnog. Yeah. He goes, "What's this for? People who are like, I kind of want to get drunk, but I also want pancakes."
Yeah, I love it. So, who are your influences growing up, Paul? Like, you know, everybody says Carlin, Richard Pryor, and those are fine, great comics. But yes, who are your influences that made you think you could do this? And then, who did you like in Chicago when you started? Who did you look up to in Chicago?
I think the influences, once I had started doing stand-up, people who I saw and was like, oh, I really like what they do. I liked the how Dennis Miller used language.
Yeah.
I really like that. Do you remember, God, what was his name? Rick Reynolds.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember him?
I do remember him.
I liked how his segues were very well. It wasn't just, oh, I'm going to try to get from this bit to this bit. His segues had vulnerability in them and kind of were thought provoking. And that's where I felt like he got in what it was that he really wanted to say, which is like, I'm afraid of this, or, you know, I have a fear that I'm going to be nobody, and things like that. And I just remember thinking, oh, you can put stuff between the jokes that is meaningful.
Right.
So that had it. And of course I never did anything meaningful in my stand-up, but I thought, yes, that's possible.
But it's great that he's doing it. Yes. No, he always had a suit on. I remember, I don't remember much of his, I think pretty young. I might've seen him before I actually did it, but that's so cool. Paul, thanks so much. It's so fun to have you on the show and just catch up and talk a little bit about comedy and what you're up to. I always love it. So take another trip and we'll do it again.
Yeah.
And I'll work on my segues. Love you too, buddy.
Please do.
See Furiosa. Okay. That was Paul.
I like that we started with segues and we ended with segues.
That's Paul. That is the genius. That's Paul Gilmartin, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks so much, buddy.
See you, Petey.
Have a great night. Oh, Paul Gilmartin, one of my favorites. And Anya, what did you just say before? You segue? No, you said something.
Did I say segue?
No. Paul did, but we were talking about something and you had the answer right there. And that was
eggnog.
Like eggnog. That's it. Like, that's you. You're on it.
I'm just being a producer. Somebody goes, what's that thick drink at Christmas? And I'm just like, eggnog, sir. This is my specialty.
Oh, it was spot on. Because that's one of the ones I actually did think of. But sometimes I'm stumped too. And I'm like, all right, we got to get to the bottom of this. So our question tonight is, who is your favorite female action star? And Paul said a good one. He said Uma Thurman, which I kind of forgot about. But she was in the Kill Bill movies. Let's see. Who do we got? Some texts here. We got 920 Sherry. Nope. Sorry. Sherry from Horicon says Julia Roberts, Erin Brockovich.
Yes. That's my new answer. Sherry, I'm sorry I'm stealing yours.
Great. And I wouldn't say action hero, but just a hero. That's a great answer, Sherry. From the 920, Jim in Appleton says, my favorite woman action hero is Scarlett Johansson, another great one. As Black Widow, she kicks serious butt in the Marvel Universe without a lot of superpowers. I know they were panned, but I like her in Lucy and Ghost in a Machine also. I did not see that one. Did you, Anya?
Which one, Lucy or?
Yeah, Lucy.
Lucy, I saw. That's the one that's like, we only use 10% of our brain. What if we could use all of it? And she talks to Morgan Freeman. And then Ghost in the Machine or Ghost in the Shell, I think, is an adaptation of a Japanese anime by the same name.
Okay.
And she played the main character in that, which I didn't see. But okay. Yeah.
So, great text, everybody. Keep those texts coming. Who's your favorite action hero, female action hero? In honor, in the spirit of Furiosa, which I really enjoyed. I'll probably see it again. My son's coming home this weekend, so I'm sure he'll go see it. And he'll ask me to go, and I'll say yes. And what I loved about it, Anya, too, was it was not too long.
Oh, good.
Sometimes these directors, like George Miller, has a big ego, but he's a great director.
Right.
Scorsese has to make a 3-hour film.
Oh, no, you wasn't don't. The Irishman 4 hours? Come on. I watched that. I was, what a slog. I hate when a film makes me go, gee, I wish this was over so I could be talking about it already. Yeah. I hate when it makes me do that for being too long.
And it's not like with Killers of the Flower Moon, I really like that film. I try to enjoy every frame. I'm like, I don't know how many more of these Scorsese has in him. I'm going to enjoy this because I like it. It still probably could have been 20 minutes shorter, but
oh yeah,
you know, Irishman, I am so with you. But I think Mad Max was like 210 maybe.
Oh, that's
very respectable
slim.
For an epic. Absolutely. Yeah. So, and then I got to do some business here, but I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about what you ate over the weekend. Cause yesterday was National Hamburger Day and it was Memorial Day weekend. So don't let me forget that. Okay.
I will not.
Okay. Hey, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer. And join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room at 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison. We'll be doing another remote from there, I think, June 14th. So you were there with the Busted Pencils guys, with Johnny and Tim, right?
That's right. I went out to Madison. They came in from Ohio and Washington, respectively, and we had a great night in Madison, did a show from there, and then caught up with Kirk and a lot of educators, a lot of people next to education who were like, hey, you're doing an event. Let's get together. And it was invigorating, very exciting.
My wife has been a teacher for close to 30 years, and I love what those guys do. I was on their show briefly when I went on after them when we were both in Madison, and I think, this was interesting, too. That was the first time they met in person.
Yes.
How crazy is that?
They've been doing a show since the early pandemic, and they never met in person.
That blows my mind. And they have such
great rapport for it. Makes no sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe, wouldn't it be weird if, like, they met in person and it was all downhill from there?
Oh, now they're just like, well, I didn't know he was so tall, and now they're mad? Yeah. Yeah. That would be great for me as their producer.
Inferiority complex. Oh, I love those guys. They're great. So, all right. Well, I want to make a point about food, but we'll do that next. We can bring Craig in, our next guest. Craig Anthony Knitt is coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
.5 The Tap.
It's fair time across Wisconsin, and with more than 70 county fairs, 3 district fairs, and the state fair, there's something for everyone to enjoy, including classic carnival games like skee-ball made in Wisconsin. You just roll that ball up a ramp and use enough strength to hop the ball into one of the bullseye rings, then add up your points. So what is the actual object of skee-ball? To show off your bowling-like skills to your friends, to work on your attention span, or to win a prize like a stuffed animal? The answer coming up. Skee-Ball is close to 110 years old. It's made in Pulaski, Wisconsin by Baytech Games. The company itself originally started in a basement. Now, do you know the object of the Skee-Ball game? It really is to add up your points and win a prize like a stuffed animal. One fun slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
So here's my issue. Yesterday was National Hamburger Day. Anya, did you have a hamburger this weekend?
I probably did, but I can't recall one good enough to share on air.
Okay. So I went to my folks' house and they made brats, and nobody, it seems like people make burgers and brats, which means I'm eating two sandwiches. I never need to eat two sandwiches. Why? I'm in my 50s. I never go, I need two sandwiches. Like, you don't need two sandwiches, but I have to have a brat. So I had a burger and a brat. Yesterday was National Hamburger Day. There is nothing worse than arriving at a party where there's great food and then baked chips.
Oh, Pete, this is the hill?
Yeah. It's time we just say, cut our losses. They're terrible. They don't cut it. Am I on an island here?
I can't join you, man. I'm a baked chip fan. Just me and Bigfoot eating our baked chips. We're leaving you out, man. I'm
leaving
sorry.
A trail.
That's how we find him.
All right, let's bring our guest in. Craig Anthonina joins us here on Nightlight. You've been here before, Craig.
Yes,
and now you're
I
back.
Love being
it's great
here.
To have you.
It's so great to be back. And are Pringles like roasted?
No, I can live with. I can work with Pringles.
Those are pretty good.
It's a good
those
chip.
Those are pretty good. That's the happy medium.
That's you the don't same have to as a die. Baked chip.
You it's don't have to baked. Die on a hill.
Yeah, no,
that'll
it's
be
not.
Great.
It's not a baked chip. And Pringles are dangerous because you can eat like you can take like half the sleeve.
Oh,
because
yeah.
They come in those tubes.
Once you pop. You, can't,
you
stop.
Can't stop.
They told you. They warned you ahead of time.
They warned you.
But those baked Lays are just, the texture is gross. There's like nothing. It's kind of salty. Am I wrong? Folks,
you know,
if you're listening, text me. I want to know. You can answer the question, who's your favorite female action star? But also, I want to know, am I on an island here with the baked chips? 855-752. What is it? 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Where do we stand on baked chips as a community, as a Nightlight community?
I don't want to get crazy on you, Pete, but I think some of those baked chips had something in them that actually did something to your body at one point.
Made it you more know? Muscular?
No, not at all. It made it more easily to use the restroom or something. I don't know.
Well, did they really?
Yeah, I think like an oleo or something, some base in the oils.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was
maybe
pretty
I should
weird.
Learn to like them.
Yeah, well, now I'm re-examining my relationship with them. Yeah.
If Conrad was here, I'd tell him to take a memo and get some baked chips for us.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's interesting. So there's that health thing, too. They have less calories, but then you also they help you go to the bathroom. So
Well, that's the easy way of saying it, yes.
All right. Well, whatever. I just don't like the way they taste. But that's okay. That's not why I brought you here, Craig.
No, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. But you know what? I liked your action, your female action star thing.
You had a fave?
I did get a chance to see Furiosa this weekend too, and it was spectacular.
It was great.
One of my absolute favorite movies is The Road Warrior. I saw it when I was in high school, you know, and I think it was right at that really influential time of your life where it's like, oh my God. In fact, when Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome came out.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson had that blonde streak in his hair.
Yeah.
Who else? I had a blonde streak in my hair, too, just from that movie.
That
so
was
I was
so mid-80s.
Super, super fan of that stuff. And Furiosa did not disappoint.
No.
But I did go to the theater, and a friend of mine said, don't have your expectations as high as Fury Road. And
really?
I kind of agreed with him
you
on
like
that.
You like Fury Road better?
I think I did, because it seemed less computer-generated.
Oh, that's interesting.
Think about that, because there were just things that they had to do with the computer that they couldn't have done with, you know, they would have killed somebody doing some of this other stuff.
I read that they had, when they shot this film, they spent on one stunt 78 days.
Oh, my gosh.
And like over 100 stuntmen, stunt people. And it just...
They killed that many to make one stunt?
That alone, I was like, I cannot wait to see this. I'm kind of with you. I would say Fury Road was a little bit more, had a more spectacle about it, but this was just a cool story. I love the first 20 minutes when she gets abducted and the mom is trying to get her back.
Oh God, that was powerful. That was so good.
Incredible.
And did you catch the cameo? I don't want to spoil anything, but there was a cameo in there, and even the music hit a certain beat that it's like, oh my, that was interesting. I don't want to tell you because I'll tell you at a halftime because I don't want to ruin it for the people.
Tell me during the 2 minute warning, Greg.
Yeah. I'll tell you during the 2 minute warning.
You know, now I'm racking my brain. I have to say, and I said this at the beginning of the show, I don't think there was a weak link, but if there was one, it was Chris Hemsworth.
You know what? I kind of think so too.
Yeah, he was fine, but it was like.
But he wasn't, I don't know, he wasn't evil enough.
He was evil, but I didn't hate him as much as I should have because he kind of was like sort of funny. But he did this terrible thing, and it's like Immortal Joe is so creepy.
He is awesome.
He is an awesome character.
And he's actually Toe Cutter from the Mad Max movie, the very first one.
You know, it's funny because
Road Warrior was two.
Road Warrior was two. And Toe Cutter, or there's a guy that yells, "Do you see me, Toe Cutter?" He's yelling to Toe Cutter. Is that?
I think he's driving the car. Okay. And Toe Cutter is the leader of their gang.
That's interesting.
He's like, "Look at me, Toe Cutter! I'm going."
And I'll say this because I love the Road Warrior, but the first Mad Max, it was hard for me to watch because they killed his family.
Oh yeah,
and that was a really, like, for a young kid, I'm like, oh my God, it stayed with me for a long time. Road Warrior was just more about him getting
absolutely.
Even. It was so cool.
And Mad Max was set more in reality.
Yeah.
You know, it was like there's houses like we have. There's all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas Road Warrior was apocalyptic.
It was a wasteland.
That was
That
was crazy.
And Thunderdome too. I would say of the five, George Miller directed Mad Max's, Thunderdome is the weak link. Still a great movie.
Yep. I would agree with that. But two of my other, I don't know if they mentioned Sigourney Weaver from Aliens.
Yes,
somebody did. Or how about Linda Hamilton from Terminator?
That is my wife's favorite. Is Linda?
She is awesome.
That's a great one. I'm glad you said that. And Uma Thurman, we've heard Sigourney Weaver, Gina Davis from The Long Kiss Goodnight, Aaron Brockovich, who's not maybe a superhero.
Scarlett Johansson, I'm sure.
Yeah, Gal Gadot, we've heard.
Oh, Gal Gadot. That Wonder Woman is probably my favorite action film with starring a female. It was so powerful. And when she comes over that, I don't know, the war terrain where she's like, you know what, we're going to go and do that. It's just like, wow, that was so powerful. You just sit on the edge of your seat. It's like, wow. That is so good.
I would say after the Christopher Nolan Batmans, Wonder Woman is probably my favorite. And I would put Wonder Woman over the third Batman with Bane.
I'm up there too, man.
So,
and then the second one came along.
Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
Didn't see it.
The 1980s one.
Yeah.
That,
not good, huh?
No, that was a bummer. I was really disappointed, especially when the first one was so powerful.
Yeah. So listen, that's our question tonight. Who's your favorite female action star? And let us know. You can still get in on the conversation. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Feel free to weigh in on baked chips, too, ladies and gentlemen. I need someone who's got my back here when it comes to baked chips because I think they're bad, and I'm getting outnumbered here. Okay, so here we go. From the 608, Tony from Madison says, those were wow chips. Yes! Remember Wow Chips with Olestra?
That's the one. That's the one I was talking about.
Those are the ones everybody's running to the bathroom while they're eating. And then from the 262, John from Milwaukee says, Pete, if you feel bad about eating a hamburger and a brat, does that mean you only eat one taco at a time? Does your just one sandwich apply? Well, that's an interesting question, and I don't know if I like the attitude, John, but I will say this. Tacos are different. I think tacos are different. I think tacos, I can mouth three of them and feel good about myself. Not three sandwiches, though. Not three brats, certainly. All right, Craig Anthony Nitt is here. He's going to tell us about a really cool event at the Brown County Library this weekend and all the other cool stuff he's been up to involving the Packers and the Waiwega Film Festival. It's going to be a lot of fun. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Great to have you with me. When it's time for leaving, I hope you'll
understand that I was born. This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. On day one of deliberations, jurors in former President Donald Trump's New York criminal trial asked to rehear instructions and to be read transcripts from Michael Cohen and David Pecker testimony. CBS's Katrina Kaufman.
It's very interesting that they want to hear both sides of that meeting. Perhaps they want to see if it aligns, whether it corroborates what Michael Cohen said.
President Biden and VP Harris visit Philadelphia to fire up black voters. Biden says of his predecessor,
Trump continues to lie by saying black unemployment was at a record low on his watch. The fact is, record low unemployment happened on my watch, and we're going to keep it going.
After a flag flap, Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito rejects calls for his recusal from upcoming Trump and January 6th cases. CBS's Jan Crawford.
In a letter today to Democrats, Justice Alito says there's no reason for him to recuse himself and that flying flags was his wife's doing, something the couple has maintained since the first flag was discovered about 3 years ago.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The judge hearing the lawsuit against Act 10 may have signed a petition to recall former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. That's according to the Associated Press. This could be important to note because anger over Act 10 drove Wisconsinites to try and recall Walker in 2012. Governor Tony Evers says Judge Jacob Frost should not be removed from the case. Evers is quoted saying, "Let's just let it play out." This case is predicted to reach the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. Two people are found dead after a house exploded near Middleton in the town of Springfield. On Tuesday night, emergency responders received a call about a house on fire. When they reached the scene, the house was entirely in flames. One body was found around 11 p.m. Tuesday night and another Wednesday afternoon. Officials have not yet identified the deceased or the cause of the explosion. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Variety has posted the predictions for Emmy Award nominations for Best Supporting Actor in the Comedy category. Eight of the top 10 nominees come from just three shows, FX's The Bear, Max's Hacks, and ABC's Abbott Elementary. Representing The Bear are Eben Moss Bachrach, Oliver Platt, Maddie Matheson, and Lionel Boyce. Paul Downs and Carl Clemens Hopkins are from Hacks, and Tyler James Williams and Chris Spaghetti from Abbott Elementary. Richard Lewis is predicted to receive a posthumous nomination for Curb Your Enthusiasm. The title for the latest installment in the Knives Out franchise has been revealed. The Hollywood Reporter sprung the news that Wake Up Dead Man, a Knives Out mystery, will debut on Netflix sometime next year. Director Rian Johnson revealed the title on his ex-Twitter page, as well as the fact that Daniel Craig will be back as the lead in the latest installment of the whodunit franchise. If they keep making Knives Out films, it's going to seem unbelievable that anyone would be seen at a dinner party with Daniel Craig. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the upper 40s. Tomorrow, sun in the morning, then a few clouds in the afternoon, high mid-70s. Showers and storms return Thursday night and Friday. And rain chances continue into the weekend. Highs stay in the 70s. It's 69 degrees right now.
The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday, Door County is getting national attention as a political bellwether. We'll find out why in our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
We have a question for our guest already over the text line. Yeah, from the 310. Craig Anthony Knitt joins me here. I was saying Knitt.
Knitt. Hard K.
The Knitt is not
Kasai. That's my hip-hop name is Hard K.
I like
so
it.
So you can remember that. Hard K. Knitt.
I haven't seen any of your stuff. Where can I find you?
I'm on the YouTubes.
Fair enough. I get the cable, so I'll look for it. Ask Craig if he's going to be at Knutz.
If it's going to be Knutz this weekend.
Knutz on Saturday about his campfire experience film.
All right.
I will add that to the list of questions,
Craig. Oh, boy. I know who that was from.
But we have a lot to talk about here because you just finished shooting something at Lambeau Field and with Mark Murphy. How was that?
You know what? That Pete, we've got a whole thing at the Boys and Girls Club that we're doing called Shorts on Sports. Oh. And it's got a little guy his name is Beckett. He's 9 years old, flaming red hair, and he knows more about sports than I'll ever know in my entire lifetime. So it's like this kid wants to be a sports announcer, so we made it happen.
And oh, sweet.
He came in and he's already interviewed Jonathan Owens. And Jonathan Owens got his podcast on his media site as well as Simone Biles' media site. So that was pretty cool. And he's 9 years old. Yeah. And then we just interviewed Sundance Wicks, who was the basketball coach here in Green Bay. Was the basketball coach.
They brought in Doug Gottlieb.
Oh, and he sounds like he's a really cool guy, but Sundance was awesome.
Why did
they
let him go?
He was so cool. I think that's his stomping grounds. So he got a chance to go back to, Wyoming, and I think it was to be closer to family and things like that. But he loved it here, and we're a little bit bummed because he promised to have our little Beckett come in and coach for a day. Wouldn't that have been amazing?
Yeah.
Oh, but now we can't do that. And then this last Friday, we interviewed Mark Murphy at Lambeau Field in one of the skyboxes.
And was one of the kids?
Yeah, the little guy who Mark Murphy was like, well, you know, this might have been before your time, but I got a chance to work with Brett Favre for a little while. And the kid's like, oh, yeah, but then they let him go to the Jets. And so he's all coming in with all these facts. And Mark Murphy's just watching him going, what is going on here? So it's cute, it's informative, and yet it has that angle for the kids too. And he could possibly be a guest that we'd get in here sometime too, that little guy.
That would be fun.
That would be really interesting because he's unpredictable.
Yeah, it sounds like how accessible. So this is work for the Boys and Girls Club.
Yes.
So I imagine the Packers are pretty willing to talk and
absolutely,
sit down.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And then when they see it, when they actually get a chance to see it, they're like, holy cats, we didn't contact Mark Murphy at all. One of his people saw the video and were like, hey, we want Mark Murphy to be part of this. So I was like, all right, let's make that happen. So
they contacted you.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then we've only got one episode out. I don't even have the Sundance Wick stuff out
I've been on the air for 6 months. I have not heard squat from the Packers. Mark Murphy,
we gotta get that little
guy.
That
is your real name.
Yeah, and one of the things that I really liked that Mark Murphy said is that he was really bummed that they lost Aaron Jones. And Aaron Jones was one of my favorite guys. Believe me, I don't know sports at all, but that guy was humble. He'd come in, he'd bring shoes to the kids at the Boys and Girls Club.
Nice.
He helped me paint a mural, for God's sake.
Very cool.
So he was a superhuman being.
Yeah, you hate to see those guys go.
I know,
right?
I know. And then they just abused him when he was playing for them. Oh, my God. It's like, here he goes again. Smash that guy. Holy cats.
That's why they paid him. That's great.
I guess so.
So, all right. So what? So that's pretty cool. And you just did that recently, right?
Yeah,
that was
I'm in the process of cutting it together.
When can people see it?
I've got to make a shorter version for it for a presentation coming up at the end of the month here.
Okay.
But then it's a 40-minute podcast with this kid just talking
to Mark Murphy.
Yes. It's holy cats. I'm like, come on, man, cut it shorter.
Did
cut
you ever see Murphy doing like a subtle glance at his watch or anything?
No,
like totally
but his,
into it.
I'll tell you what,
that's
he didn't
cool.
a single time. He did not look at his watch. He was having fun. His PR guy was looking at his phone constantly. And I'm like, dude, do we got enough time here? And he's like, you got about this much time left. And I'm like, Beckett, you got to move it. You got to pick it up. He didn't pick it up at all. And Mark Murphy's like, you know what? We're having fun here. Let's just keep going.
Oh,
And so it's interesting because the second this kid gets rolling, and again, he's a 9-year-old kid. Once he gets rolling, the adults in the room are just like talking to him like a normal adult. He's like, you know, you got this, all these things coming up, the draft and this and that. Just tell me, how are you doing? The little guy just asked him how he's doing. And right away, Mark Murphy's like, you know what? I'm doing pretty good.
I'm having some marital issues. I'll be honest with you.
But he flipped right into it, and it was perfect.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, you do great work with the kids, Craig. We should do something where they come in.
We could do a whole segment someday.
It would be fun to have them act out a scene in the studio sometime, like from one of the films they do or something.
Oh, yeah.
Anya, we can do that, right?
Oh, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
And coming up with the Green Bay Film Festival in November, I think it is, we're going to have one of our films that the kids did in that film festival.
Very cool.
But that's not why I'm here either, Pete.
Well, that's one of the reasons you're here.
Yeah, I guess so, I guess.
You just got a lot to talk about, buddy.
Absolutely.
It's been a while. I want to ask you about one more thing before we get to the summit, which sounds really cool. And that was your award. You were recognized as one of the 50 artists in Wisconsin by Wisconsin Arts? Arts Wisconsin?
Arts Wisconsin. Yeah, that's a super cool honor for me. Is I was just chosen as a filmmaker.
Yeah.
You know, I do a lot of work with comics. I do a lot of work with illustration and drawing. And to be recognized as a filmmaker, specifically in short films, Pete. Huh. So it's so cool to be recognized for that. It actually kind of legitimized me for a while. Because you live with this imposter syndrome. Seriously, you live with this imposter syndrome going, oh, God, how can I make these movies? It's just like it doesn't make any sense. But my stuff is quirky, fun, and it really tells good stories. So it's cool to have that coming back.
And now winning the award, it's just enough to keep you going and it's making all the stuff that you want to make, right?
It's not just enough. It's actually a kick in the pants that I really, really needed. Just recently, last week, Thursday, in Wyawega, I shot a new short film, too, at the Opera House, which is going to be awesome because we shot it in the Opera House. We had Ian, who owns the Opera House and runs the Wyawega Film Festival, was in it. Another Cola Engel helped me shoot it. She was a great help. My buddy CJ Guzan was somebody that helped as the main actor. But then we had a grandfather in there by the name of John Jost. Have you ever heard that name?
No.
John Jost is actually an internationally known filmmaker, a director who's won awards from Sundance before it was even called Sundance. Hmm. And he does these experimental films, which is mind-blowing. It's just the way that he puts things together, it's improvised. Yeah. He makes an improvised movie. They're narratives, and they make sense.
Gutsy.
Which is really wild. And I got a chance to play four characters for him. So that was cool. And then he played the grandfather in my movie. So I got this guy who's got some real clout, you know, in the film world in my movie, which is just, and he was wonderful. God, he made some jokes. He made some jokes for the character that were just spot on. It was so cool to keep that in there.
So where can we see that? Or when will we?
You know what? I'm hoping to have that ready to play either at the Wyawega Film Festival, or we're going to be doing a tribute at the Wyawega Festival or at the Wyawega Opera House for a Wisconsin-based filmmaker by the name of Bill Rabane. Are you familiar with that name, Pete?
I am not.
He's the dude that
I am now,
though. In 1975 or 74, something like that, he created the giant spider invasion. And it was one of the top 50 grossing films for that year.
Wait a second.
And
that's a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they did it on Riff Tracks or whatever the heck that other show is where they...
Mystery Science Theater 3000. Here for is for naming obscure things. Eggnog and MST3K.
Have you seen the one with Giant Spider?
If I have, it was on in the background, but I did just pull it up. You were right. 1975, the Giant Spider Invasion. Yeah. I have to see it now.
It decimated Gleason in Wisconsin in that time.
I've been to Gleason.
Have you really? I was just up there.
Yes.
And Bill had a showing. Get this, Pete. This is just so weird because he had Tiny Tim in one of his movies. Tiny Tim. And so he asked me to come up there and kind of MC the whole event for him. And it's like, you would think that a lot of people wouldn't show up for a Tiny Tim tribute in Gleason, Wisconsin. And unfortunately, you're right.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But we did get a chance to make some really great connections up there and talk with Bill and get him excited. A friend of mine has a film festival down in Appleton. His name is Dan Davies, and he's got the NYFA Awards.
I know Dan.
And they want to have possibly give Bill a Lifetime Achievement Award at this event in October. So it's going to be a kickoff to Halloween.
That is the voice of Craig Anthony Kinnett, who is my guest here in studio at Nightlight. We're talking filmmaking and Wisconsin filmmaking. It's so funny you brought that movie up because Terry Bell, who is the news director here at Civic Media, he told me about that film about 2 weeks ago.
What?
Yeah, and I was like racking my brain. So,
oh, man, we got to get you to Wyoega on that weekend.
We got to get I'd love to have Bill on the show, too, to talk about that because it's supposedly a classic.
We could. He's 80-plus.
Okay.
So
we could do it over the phone or whatever. Oh, that would be great to talk about why we did whatever.
And he could then learn how to use Zoom because I would love to talk to him on Zoom as well.
Let's have a test run before we have him learn Zoom on the show.
Yeah, for sure.
No, that sounds great. So, all right. So you got this big event coming up too, Craig, this weekend, right? Let's get to that because that looks really cool.
We've got the Cinema Summit.
Okay.
Can you say that 10 times fast? No, probably not. I don't know why I named
could,
it
but
that.
I don't know if we have time. Otherwise, I would.
But in January of this year, I had a retrospective of my films playing in Portage, Wisconsin.
I remember that.
And you know what? January 6th is not a good day to have an event because, especially that far away from my stomping grounds, because nobody that I knew showed up except for one guy showed up on his way back home from Madison. And then there were a couple of locals there, so there was only about 15 people. And I geared all of my films. I had these little introductions between each one that kind of explained why I made these creative choices and what I did and how I shot this and who helped me. And some of the films I did on my own with just a tripod so that you could kind of show people that you can tell a story. You don't use all these excuses as I don't have anybody to help me. I don't have the right equipment. I don't have this. If you want to make a short film, if you want to make a film of any kind, you can. Our cell phones, for God's sakes, have better cameras than the first feature film that I did.
Jeez, you know? Isn't that something? That is just, that's crazy.
But with this great content that I had and this very motivated, inspiring set of films, nobody got a chance to see it. So I'm like, well, I want to do something back home here to really start building that excitement back up and inspire folks and get people back into making films in any way that we can and possibly kick my film festival back into gear.
So is that going to happen? Is that sort of what this is about?
Kind of. I mean, it's giving me a little bit of it's feeding my soul a little bit to get some of these things done. But if Wildwood comes back, that would be really good because I'll tell you what, Pete, that was the only festival in the entire world that showcased 100% Wisconsin film talent.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
So at this event Saturday, you've got a panel. You've got a lot of people coming in.
Yeah.
Who have all shot films in Wisconsin and other places. Tell us about who you have coming in, Craig.
Well, we've got, I could talk about any one of these particular things. The first thing we're starting the day off is with a screenwriters panel. And we've got a couple of folks from Madison, from Amaro, from Appleton, and from Green Bay, actually, too, coming in. Kelly Peterson, Robert Dennis, Jim Berg, and Carla Bryant. She's got, that's her writing name. So
she can't tell us her real name?
I guess not. Secret? Okay. I guess not. It's a secret.
Okay. That's fair.
Not really, but she just told me yesterday, I don't know if people are going to know me from this name. I'm like, okay, well, we'll see what we got. We also have an actors panel with Dan Davies, as we mentioned.
Yeah.
How do you know Dan?
We're Facebook friends.
Awesome.
And I don't know that I want to say Dan and I have met once in real life.
You got to meet this guy.
At a festival or something. But we, I think I've clicked like a few times, and I think he's done the same thing. So I would love to talk to Dan.
He would be a good guest for you to come on there. He is a heck of a talker, and he knows a lot of stuff about filmmaking here in our area. But then I've got my buddy CJ Gazan, who I've done a lot of improv with, and Heather Arndt, who has a talent agency up here. Yeah.
Let's pick up with that next. We've got more with Craig Anthony Kinnett about his really cool event. If you're interested in film, we'll tell you more about it coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Watch out! The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Look, General Kelly is someone who lost a son in battle. And at the grave of his son, the then sitting president of the United States, Donald Trump, said, I just don't get it. What was in it for them?
To him, it's always been, how can I get my name out there? He's never going to be fulfilled. He's never served something larger than himself. And I think on days like Memorial Day, it's extremely telling.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
That's a new one. Great call on you. An offbeat U2. Not the big... Not really offbeat.
It's I was going to say, yeah, this biggest. Is a deep cut,
it's Pete. It's just one you don't hear a lot of since, you know. Hey, we've got a really cool, Craig Anthony Kinnett is here. We're going to talk more about his event this weekend, but we have a great contest. We did a contest here at Civic Media.
What's the contest?
It's called Sconny Summer.
Ooh.
And it's a text to win contest. And Civic Media's next. It's right around the corner too. It starts June 3rd at 7 a.m. You text to win. You tune in and the prizes include Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, not the nosebleeds, club level. That's good, right, Anya?
I have only ever sat in club level once, and it was because of this company, and I don't think I can go back to normal baseball ever again. It was too nice.
You don't want to sit in the euchre seats.
To quote Mad Max, don't get addicted to water. Doesn't that toe cutter guy say that in the Fury Road? Don't get addicted to club level seats unless you're going to text in a lot,
nice
friends.
Pull. First the YouTube and then the Fury Road.
I got it.
And there's a chance to win a Sconny Summer staycation. Chances to win every weekday from June 3rd to June 14th, beginning at 7 a.m. right through the 7 p.m. hour. Nightlight is not a part of this, apparently, but that doesn't mean I can't talk about it because it's a cool contest. Begins June 3rd at 7 a.m. So stay tuned, folks. We'll be telling you more about it on Nightlight 2 tomorrow and Friday. So Craig Anthony Kinnett is here. They have a great event at the Brown County Library. And yeah, I know John Pata, he's been on the show.
Has he?
He has been on the show.
Awesome.
We talked about
his
film.
Black Mold.
Black Mold, yes.
Yeah. He did a handful of other films, too, that we showcased in Wildwood. Better Off Undead was the first one. It was a zombie film. And then Dead Weight, which was a really classy, well-done zombie film from the area. And then he also worked on Gags the Clown a little bit.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. And I've interviewed
Kurt.
Gags' director,
Adam
Krause.
Okay. Yeah.
Adam's great. And Kurt Krause is a friend of mine, sure. Jared Crooks has been on my PBS
has
show
really?
Years ago.
Oh, yeah, he's a filmmaker out of Wausau area. Well, but I don't know if he lives there now. I think he's more closer down to Madison area.
Why do I know Jim Berg?
Jim is a writer. His film Cricket won the NYFA Awards recently.
I've seen Cricket.
You have not.
I
have
did,
you,
yes,
film?
With Tim Higgins. Is that correct?
Lie. I don't think so. This
no?
is a short film.
Oh, yes, Higgins a short
is...
film, the two men, and they're at the campfire, and the
I
wife's passed
even
away.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It could be cool if you did
if
see
Tim
it.
If Tim Higgins is in it, I have seen it. It would have played at the Milwaukee Short Film Fest with my
did.
Film.
I bet
I'll
you...
leave that out, but yes.
Oh, I want to hear more about that sometime. Oh, that's super cool. But
Anya, this guy is connected to like every film festival.
I'm realizing that. That's why I'm behaving.
Oh, don't behave. I'm loving that. But yeah, Jim Berg, actually, we were trying to get one of Jim Berg's buddies to come in who was a producer for Stranger Things.
Okay.
Ooh, that would have been kind of fun. And I'm getting a chance to meet him. So we'll see where that can go in the future.
And I'm actually Facebook friends with Robert Dennis and Carla Semmering.
That's Carla Bryant.
Okay, Carla Bryant. Okay.
Yeah, she's the one that wrote... rewrote the Stephen King novel Last Rung on the Ladder.
Oh, okay.
So she's going to be speaking as a writer. Nice. And actually, when I look at this list, I think Jeff Blankenship is part of that. Carla is part of that. Kurt Krause obviously did that piece as well.
Right.
So there's a lot of kind of interconnection when you start looking at the different films that people make.
So it's called a meet and greet, Craig. So people show up. You got 11 to 12 screenwriters panel.
Yep.
1 to 2 producers panel, 2 to 3 actors, 3 to 4 networking.
Yep.
If people go to see these, what can they expect to learn?
Well, I'm thinking that they're gonna really pick up some tips on how they can get started. Okay. And actually, my real goal, Pete, is so that they can rub elbows with folks and really and connect. I think, you know, when I look back at the days, one of the first times I met you was through the IFG, the International or the Independent Filmmakers Guild, and just a handful of buddies up here in Green Bay. And I'll tell you what, when you have that group of like-minded people, you are just so motivated and inspired to get some stuff done. So this is going to be happening. And I've got Larry LaMalfa coming in to take headshots, too. Nice. So that people can, you know, walk away with maybe a picture of themselves.
Oh,
and
look at you,
and again,
man.
Getting a chance to just get a chance to be out there. So who have I not talked about? Jeff Ohm. Is that somebody that you know?
I know the name. I know the name Jeff Blankenship.
He is an Academy Award winner out of Appleton.
No kidding.
Yeah. He's worked on a ridiculous amount of movies like, well, let me see my list. The Fifth Element, Titanic, Castaway, Black Hawk Down, The Chronicles of Narnia. I mean, have you heard of any of those?
I've seen all of those, I'm proud to say.
And, yeah. So
this is a great event, everybody. It takes place June 1st. That's this Saturday at the Brown County Library. It's free, Craig?
Yes, it's very much free. Max Hauser, too, just had a showing of his film back on Track at the Waiwega Opera House this last week, too. And it was stupendous. It was amazing.
Wow.
It's about the rebuilding of the Waupaca train depot. And you'd think, okay, how can I sit there and watch that for an hour? But, dude, it was really engaging.
And that's a sign of great
filmmaking. Extremely well made.
Yeah.
Drone shots. Oh, God, it was gorgeous.
This looks like a great event. And if you're interested, folks, in any way in getting into the film game, even if it's independent or if you want to be a big screenwriter, this is a great place to start because, I mean, for me personally, I know everybody asks me, how do I get started?
Absolutely.
And this is how you do it. You meet other people of similar interests. You maybe work on something with someone else. It's a great way to
connect and get stuff done.
Yeah, great way to start out. So you've got, it starts at 10. You got producers, actors, people coaching you on networking, and screenwriters. You can really just kind of dig in.
Yeah, we've had a lot of success with screenwriting panels before because that's something that people want to know about, and as well as acting. This is one of the first times. I think we had producers one time, but it's probably going to cross over from producers to directors as well because most of these guys on this list did both.
That's so great. I'm excited for you, Craig. And this is anytime you put together an event like this, it's a big undertaking.
It is, but this one here just kind of happened.
Yeah. Well, you got some great people involved, and keep up the great work.
Thank you, Pete. Thank you so much.
Keep those film festivals rolling, and you come back and talk to us about the Green Bay Film Festival, too.
We got to bring that little guy in here sometime, too. You would love that.
Get him in here and talk my ear off.
Getting him to shut up,
He's
worse than me.
From the 310, a text says, that's totally cricket.
Okay, cool.
We got the right one, Tim Higgins.
Very cool.
I would like to thank my guests tonight, Paul Gilmartin, Craig Anthony Knitt. Good luck with your program
Saturday. Thank you so much.
Go check it out at the Brown County Library. Thank you for all your texts, answers to the questions, and being part of the show. It's always much more fun when you guys are involved. And tomorrow night, Jan Jansen is on the show from the TV show The Rookie, and Rose Abadou from the show Hacks on Max. That's tomorrow on Nightlight. Thanks so much for being with me tonight. We're back at it. Thank you, Anya.
Thank you, Pete.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow night. This has been Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Good night, Wisconsin.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in for the Devil's Advocates radio show. The jury is still out. Will it be a quick conviction? Dom's hoping. Or an agonizing deliberation? I'm hoping.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your first chance to win in this statewide contest starting Monday, June 3rd at 7 a.m. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.